The following program contains swearing right from the fucking start.
Hello and welcome back to We Don't Do Stuff. I'm Sunny Dapp.
And I'm Jazz, and this is our podcast about stuff we don't do, but we will eventually.
So it's been another amazing week here at We Don't Do Stuff headquarters. As made up, man. So Jazz, what have we missed in Birmingham this week?
Yeah, I was going to say that my week has been very average.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah, like even the stuff that we did is starting to become the norm. But anyway, hitting you with our usual setup. So the stuff that we missed in Birmingham, there's probably three things that look pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's an independent Birmingham festival at the Bond in Pictures. That made literally no sense. So basically, it's like a food festival that's going on in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And it's... the location was the Bond, but I've never heard of it. Have you heard of that?
There's always like loads of different food festivals happening in Birmingham.
Mm.
Do you think like you could set yourself a challenge where for 1 year you can only eat at food festivals?
Are there like that many? You'd run out of money, won't you? Really?
That's true, though. And also, you're probably right. It probably doesn't happen. So you probably starve for some parts of the year.
Exactly, yeah. So basically, it's a Birmingham food festival that we missed.
Okay.
So that looked okay. But it's like you're saying that you always end up eating like rubbish when you go to these food festivals. So they're not always that good. Apart from this one, it's called the Reggae Brunch in Birmingham.
Oh, where was that?
And that was yesterday.
You know, we weren't doing anything yesterday.
We weren't, yeah. So basically, it's a... so it happens in the morning, I think.
I'll forget that.
Yeah, so from 12 till 5 p.m. And they play reggae music, food, and you can get loads of them. So they play reggae music, and you can also get food. So you can get like food like veggie patties, sweet potato pumpkin, jerk chicken, grilled vegetables, carrot cake. There's like vegan options.
Oh, would have been good. So good, man.
You would have enjoyed it. But the only reason we didn't go was...
Yeah.
Because it's like 30 quid, almost. 30 to 40 pound.
So is that just a ticket, or do you get the food with that as well?
Oh, you get the food as well. So
that's
it was too
kind
bad.
All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Would have been okay.
What else did we miss?
And also, locally, there was the Jewellery Quarter Festival.
Which is actually happening right now, as we speak.
It is, yeah.
So if you listen to this now, get yourself down to the Jewellery Quarter Festival,
yeah.
Which is probably going to be over.
Which is free as well. So it's an annual festival which celebrates all things Jewellery Quarter. And Jewellery Quarter is where they make jewellery and sell jewellery. And that's in Birmingham. So we kind of missed it, and we're currently missing it too.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, those are the three things that seemed interesting. There's something happening in town, but we don't know what that was.
Yeah, that was...
We could just hear...
I think that was part of the Birmingham International Dance Festival that's happening in Birmingham.
Oh, was it?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
So yeah, so we missed that as well. But...
I might go and check it out, because I'm going to go back into town later on today
and
see what's happening. So it's going to be always something happening. But yeah...
So those are the things we missed.
Yeah. What have we been up to?
You want to go first?
Yeah, okay, I'll go first. Not much. When I said amazing week at the start, I think I was being ironic.
Sarcastic? Maybe.
Moronic? I don't know. But yeah, it's just sticking back on the same thing. So I've just been... It's been good, though. Done my free runs for the app, Catch the 5K. That's been good. Using the other app as well, Skimble app. Had a networking event on Monday.
Yeah.
Part of Equity. So we basically got a new committee group. And we're just planning, gave them the vision of where we should be heading, delegated the roles.
So what is it that you guys plan?
So we, so Equity, for those who don't know, is the Actors Trade Union, and I'm the current chairperson for the Birmingham area. And what we plan is we look at the type of events, but we don't know what the content of the event is yet.
Hmm.
So that's something that while I want to empower our steering group as per se to either find out from our members what they want, or to put something out there and see what people feel about it.
So you guys do events, educational events for Equity members?
Yeah, for actors in Birmingham.
For actors.
Yeah.
But you don't put on festivals, it's like developmental events.
Yeah, developmental events, educational events, and just something just to help actors develop. Just give them the edge. So that's just one of the extra things that I want to bring in with this. So yeah. That's cool. What else did I do? As I said, just been going gym. We went out to eat.
Champales?
Yeah, yeah.
Which we said we would never go again.
Yeah.
But we went again. I still kind of feel that I wouldn't go again. It was a little bit better this time, I think.
Yeah. I think because we ate less. Or we ordered
the right amount of food. Yeah. So I think it was the food that I had, I did enjoy it. It was nice. Yeah. But it was proper and healthy, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was no real... There's nothing...
Yeah.
Healthy. Yeah. Okay. But it's pure vegetarian food. It's pretty good. The price is okay.
Yeah.
Service was fine.
Yeah. Because there's only one person literally serving. It was fine.
Yeah.
I think that's why you need more staff.
Exactly. So that was pretty good. And I think...
Karen.
So I think... what was I going to say?
Was it
about Shambolas?
No, no. It's...
All right. So I was going to say that on Wednesday...
Yeah.
I went to speed dating. So this is speed dating for 24 to 35 year olds.
Yeah.
The age bracket that I fall into.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I went with some other... people. So I went with somebody that I know from work,
yeah,
and he went with one of his friends as well. Okay. So three of us went,
yeah,
and it was back in the same place that we always are, in Nouveau-Bois, which it's not really that good, but this time, yeah, it was so packed. Like, you know, like normally there's how many people are there?
Five. No.
Well, there's number of 10-15 people maybe.
Yeah,
this one there must have been about 30 guys, 30 girls. It was like really packed.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people, and it was literally actual, full, real speed dating.
So we got timed 3 minute conversations.
Timed, yeah.
How long was the conversations? Were like?
So they were literally 3 minutes, yeah. And then I think I found that really challenging, because everything that we've been watching and the way that people chat and what they've told us to do is, everyone said ask open questions.
Yeah.
So I thought, I know what I'd do. I'll just ask an open question, let the person just talk. And literally, the girl just spent like 3 minutes chatting about herself. But then when I was talking to the organizer, she was saying that, no, you should ask some closed questions as well. Like, where are you from? What age you are? But and what job you do?
That's all boring, isn't it?
And I was like, I don't think I would ask any of those questions.
Mm.
Do you get me?
Hello.
Because like, none of those things really matter.
Yeah.
Like, if you like the person, you like the look of them, and like, you know, you get on with them and they've got a nice personality.
And it's always weird how, like, we're just prone to asking those questions, and then somehow we think that those things are going to mean something in terms of how the content of the person's character.
Yeah.
How they are. They could be from the best part of the world, still could be an asshole.
Yeah. Or they could have a really good job and then might not.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
Or, you know, they could be from a undesirable area.
Yeah.
Still could be a nice person.
But I mean, like, the questions that people asked me were that what I thought were interesting. Somebody asked me, the organizer saying, ask quirky questions like, if you was a cereal, what cereal would you be?
If you was a cereal, what cereal would you be?
What would I be?
Yeah.
I'd be Frosties because I'm great. See, if somebody said that to me, I'd be fucking pissed off, man. You'd be like, okay, dickhead.
Yeah.
Calm
okay.
down. So if you was a cereal, what cereal would you be?
Shredded wheat. I'm taking the piss. Frosted shredded. I don't know. There's too many to choose from, man. I'd be like that variety pack where you get like loads of good things.
Oh, right.
Innit? Or oats. I'd be oats. That's grueling. That's from Oliver Twist. I'm taking the piss now. Mm. Okay, so what was...
So you haven't said which one you would
I be. Haven't. I'm deflecting.
Yeah.
I'm deflecting. Okay, I gotta stop doing
I need to know the one cereal that you're going to be.
The one cereal I'm going to be. Cocoa Pops.
Why is that?
I don't know, because
you turned milk chocolatey brown.
Yeah, because that's what I do in it. I take white milk and I turn it brown and chocolatey.
I was thinking Cocoa Pops, but I thought, man, I'd see that for myself. Yeah. Although that is the best cereal, though.
That is the best cereal, man. I could literally eat bowls of that. No, I did used to eat bowls of that, man.
But like, my other favourite cereal did used to be the variety one.
Yeah.
Because you could like mix.
And it, like, people aren't about like the Avengers Infinity War being the best crossover, man. Okay, mixing up flipping
Frosties and Cocoa Pops.
Yeah, I was gonna say Frosties and cornflakes.
But that's just normal. That's just like having sugar on your cornflakes.
Did you know Kellogg's? Yeah, the inventor, the Kellogg's, the guy. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, okay.
Kellogg's.
Mr. Kellogg's.
Yeah. Mr. Kellogg's invented cereal. As a cure for masturbation.
What?
Seriously, man? Google
That's
it.
Some bullshit.
Google it. Fact check it. But Not now. Yeah. What are you doing?
No, I was just thinking that how does the two facts we need to check.
How does the two balance out? Yeah. But okay, what other weird ask questions did people, girls ask you there?
What did they ask? So a lot of people ask you what job I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really want to talk about it because...
I always find that boring though.
Yeah, because it's just boring. Like if I tell you what my job is, you're just going to make loads of assumptions.
Yeah.
So then, so one of the girls was saying to me that, do you enjoy your job? I was like, yeah, I love it. Like, I enjoy my job. It's really good. I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy going to work and, like, you know, like, enjoy being there. And it's enjoyable. And she goes, oh, most people who I spoke to do your job don't enjoy it. And I was like, that's because they don't have good jobs. And she was like, oh, so what makes you better than all them? I said, I didn't say I was better than them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said that my job was better than them.
Yeah. You found a job that speaks to you in terms of what you want to do. Like, you know.
Because it's saying that you could be like the best person at your job, but you might not be in the right place or the right position or you might not be working for the right company. And they might not be getting the most out of you.
Yeah.
Whereas you could be somebody who's average at best.
Yeah.
Like me. But whoever you work for and they get the most out of you, then it's more productive.
If you're in a job that's, you're absolutely right, that's utilizing and helping to unleash your potential, then you feel you got more job satisfaction and therefore you feel happier in your job.
So I think I get more done because I enjoy what I'm doing. Whereas like, and I don't have to be the best at it. It's like that, it goes back to that thing, like, you know, we're watching that show Queer Eye. And what that guy Karama was saying was, he goes that when you're like doing things, he goes that for you, there's three steps: you plan, you do, and you ask for help.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like we've read a lot of like self-help books, and that, you know, even like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People we've read, and you know, like with these different kind of books. But really, it just boils down to those three things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So plan what you're doing, do it, and if you don't know what you're doing, get someone to help you. And I think that's the kind of thing that I do at work. Like, I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
I try to do it. And if it doesn't work out, you just get someone else involved to just...
You get people when they need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what someone said to me about me as well, this sounds like I'm picking myself up, I should have been talking about these things on speed dating. But what someone said was, they go that you got a real knack of finding the right people. Like, they go, you always find the right people.
Yeah.
To help with... whatever it is that we need. So like, you know, we got a steering group as well, so they were saying that you always tend to find like,
well, that's
the right people. And it's like, that's because
you're thinking about it, you're going through skill sets, what people are doing.
But yeah, so it's pretty good. I'll tell you what the other questions that these people asked, that I'm trying to think here. So there's a lot of these, like, people were asking what jobs you do, and where you're from, it was very generic. So basically, because there's like 30 odd girls, like the reason I can't remember the questions now, because I can't even remember the people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after like 10, 15 people, they all start to merge into one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't know who asked you what happened, who said anything, because you met so many people. So I think that was the bad thing about it. But I think the good thing was that you did get around to speak to everyone. But then the only thing that you can really remember is that the way that they look.
Yeah.
And I think something else funny happened as well. One of the girls, she goes, they came to the mingle, the last one. And if you've been listening to all the episodes, I was saying that there was this two girls who were standing at the bar and they walked away. Anyway, them two turned up as well.
Okay.
Again. So I chatted to them, but they were okay.
You didn't miss out anything when they left the first time.
No, initially the girl was like, she was... like, I thought she was joking about the way that she was being.
Yeah.
But then afterwards I realised that she's not actually joking. She seemed like she was a bit arrogant.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was saying like... but I thought initially she was joking.
Yeah.
And maybe she was joking. Maybe I just didn't pick it up.
It's weird though, because what I find is speed dating in general, these mingling events, and then actual speed dating.
Yeah.
When you've got a timed conversation, generally puts people in a situation... they're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
And they feel pressured.
Yeah.
And you do start asking ridiculous questions. So you think, okay, people think, I don't want to ask the generic boring questions, so I'll try to be different and rememberable and ask something quirky. But I don't know, man.
I'll tell you what happened to me. Yeah. So one of the girls, she goes to me that she was there going, oh, don't worry, just relax, it's fine.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not nervous.
I just look nervous.
No, it's because like I'd ask so many questions. Yeah. That I just went up to her and I was like, I couldn't be bothered to talk.
Shit.
Like, this must have been on like the number 16, 17, 18 or something like that.
Okay, now.
And I was like, oh my God, like, I cannot be bothered yet. And she's like, oh, don't worry. Just if you feel nervous, it's fine.
I'll put it like this.
I was like, I'm not nervous.
Yeah. I just can't be asked.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
And you know, like, even we were going around and like, you don't have time to go and get a drink.
Yeah.
And I think, like, because think about it, it's like 3 times 30. So it's like, must have been like 45 minutes afterwards. Imagine talking for 45 minutes and not having a drink. Sip of drink.
That's kind of messed up, isn't it? So they should do like rounds, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. So my mouth is dry, man, after.
And then if you have a massive drink, then you look like an alcoholic, because then people think, what's he?
I'll tell you the other thing, there were so many fucking people there, yeah. I couldn't hear anyone. And like, there was bits where like people were sitting so close and I could hear what the other guys, like, I could hear the guys introducing themselves.
Yeah.
So I couldn't hear fuck all. But anyway, apart from that, it was okay. It was good. It was a good idea. Some of the execution was a little bit bad because I couldn't hear anyone, but that might just be me.
Now, generally, most of these dating events, sometimes it's better if you got that same kind of thing, but it's on like a more of a chilled out.
Yeah.
So you can actually hear a conversation, because if you're going there for the conversation.
But it feels like that we've become regulars now going to speed dating events. Mm. And I tell you what, the other thing, like, I don't know what, it's what people do. Like, everyone's saying, oh no, if I was the organizer, this is what I would be doing.
Oh, these armchair pundits.
Yeah.
That literally.
And you're like, do you know what? Yeah. Just shut up, and you're only going to meet one person. You're not going to really do this. Why are you giving your bloody 2 pence worth when you're not even really going to do anything like this?
Yeah.
And even if you did do it, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Exactly, because a lot of people will just quick to criticise when someone is doing something. Like, fair play to these companies that set up and say, look, you know what? They're finding it difficult trying to find someone.
Yeah.
You know, and they're setting up Asian speed dating events. Yeah. Fair enough, man. Fair play, man, because it's good for the culture, man, because if people want to marry someone, you know, that's, you know, that they like.
Yeah, but like, one of my friends was saying that, like, he was saying that, do you think that anybody actually meets anyone at these events? I was like, they probably do, because when you chat to them, some people say, oh, I haven't been because I met someone and then I was dating them for like this long, and then after getting on with them, I realized I didn't like them or whatever. So that's what happens in normal dating. So people do meet people. It's just that it is a bit artificial. I mean, we've met people and we thought they were fine, and then after we chat to them and we realize that, you know what?
Yeah.
They're not actually okay.
Yeah. Or so, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, it's not going to work out. So that was one of the main things that I did last week. But did you do anything Wednesday, Thursday?
Just gym and then rehearsal on Friday for our show.
I think on Saturday I also went out to one of our favourite places.
Not so initially, anymore.
Well, initially, yeah, I went to Picture on Piano, so I met the dude. And the other thing that was going on in Birmingham as well, they've got, do you know what? This is what I think the first thing was on about, the Bond Street or whatever the fuck that was. The first thing I mentioned at the start of the show, that Birmingham have an outdoor cinema that they set up.
What were they showing?
So I think they were showing Oliver Twist or some shit like that. That was on. Yeah, it looked a bit wanky, man. I just thought, fuck that. So I walked past it when I went on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it didn't look. There was a lot of people there. Honestly, man, there must have been about nearly 2,000 people or 1,000.
What, sitting out watching a film?
Yeah, just in the outdoor open.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it looked good, but whatever they were showing, it looked boring. But maybe they do show like different movies than.
I'm sure last time in the outdoor cinema they just showed like Grease and all that, and they showed some like really cool films and like different classics.
So I think it's pretty good. So that was good. But then I also went to just generally out on Saturday, and went to Picture on Piano. Have you ever been there?
A while ago, man. How was it?
What do you think of it?
Was it just loud?
It wasn't loud. It was just shit, man. Huh? It was just a bit wanky, man. I just didn't like it. Like, it was. So my mate went there and he ordered two Peroni. Drinks. Two drinks, yeah. He did actually order a Peroni. So he had two Peronis, and that came to fucking. How much do you think it cost
for two beers? Two beers. Well, that place, £12?
Well, yeah, it was. It was like 11 quid. Is that normal price?
In town it is, man. What I'm finding it is
I think
town.
That I'm so used to going to
Rebs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you get a beer for like 3-4 quid.
Yeah. But then it's Peroni as well, I suppose. But yeah, them places are like that, Picture and Piano and all that.
Yeah, what I was like, what the fuck? Why would anybody even keep going there? And it wasn't even like, it was okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I said, look, I don't want to stay here. Let's go to Rebs. Because that's where we normally go.
Yeah.
And went to Rev's, and Rev's, you had a good time.
That's good, man.
Yeah, had a good laugh there. And then we went to Thingy. Sounds like we had like some really terribly boring weekend.
I'm cool with it, man. Because what we done, so then, so just today, Sunday,
yeah,
we went to this thing at the NEC.
Yeah.
And it's called, what is it called again?
Real Bodies.
Yeah, Real Bodies. And it's a educational exhibition of the human body.
Yeah.
Featuring real human bodies.
Yeah.
And is this touring around?
I think it tours around the world.
Yeah.
So I think it's in Birmingham
for a
up
while.
Until the end of August. Or
up till the end of
August,
yeah.
Like that.
But you can Google it and check it out if you
yeah.
want to go and visit it. And I think, yeah, the main selling point about this exhibition is that everything on display is from real human bodies.
Humans.
And it was very interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it was a bit like, initially I didn't want to go because I thought it was a bit creepy and a bit
yeah.
weird. And I think it was just like the thought of it was just putting me off a little
yeah.
bit. But I thought we should go and check it out because we are trying to do different stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the reason that we went. And it was quite thought-provoking.
Mm.
Like, we were sitting there and we were, like, having some interesting conversations. Somebody's trying to read my notes, you know.
No, I'm just thinking
down.
About... No, yeah, I'm just thinking... Yes, I can read
yeah.
notes upside down. No, what I was thinking about, it was... You're right, it was very thought-provoking because you go into this place of... essentially, like, it's death, right?
Yeah.
But you do come out contemplating about life, and they always say about that. When you know when people talk about death, it's more about looking at how you live your life. So yeah, it was interesting. And
the exhibition itself was like digging deeper into like the beauty of the human body, mind, and soul.
Yeah. Tell me more.
I'm reading the press.
Yeah,
release.
I know. Tell me more. But we, you know, to be honest, our words really can't do justification to it.
Hold on, mine can.
Okay, cool.
Because it consists of dramatic and compelling galleries that offer a unique perspective of the human anatomy and its importance in the world of cultures, as well as emotional expression embedded in each physiological function.
This podcast is brought to you by The Real Bodies, which is taking place now at the NEC in Birmingham.
I mean, to be honest, it was a comprehensive educational exhibition that pushes the boundaries while seamlessly blending art, science, emotion, as a museum of self.
Wow. I love how you made them words your own. It's as if like...
If I'm not reading the...
Yeah. It actually reminds me of a quick tangent. This actually... The episode of Alan Partridge where he gets some random person to play Bono and this Bono impersonator is reading from this leaflet talking about this house and he's like... And he's doing a terrible Bono impression. And it just reminded me of that. Where he's trying to read facts about it. And he's like, okay. But
I think our mind's a bit more interesting. But
I think
one of the things that that you said, which was not on the press release, but you actually said it. So there was one of the things was saying that it's talking about immortality.
Yeah.
And like you were saying that. What is it that you said?
Well, I said that's what I find... the pursuit is to become immortal.
Yeah,
like since the dawn of time men and well, it would be men at that time humans wanted to exist through the ages.
Yeah,
and we achieved that through art, writing and stuff that's helped like live on. So you know when people have written stuff that's become embedded in time it's for living forever.
Yeah,
and now in terms of modern medicine we're trying to live longer as well.
Yeah.
And we're trying to find out all these things that are not, well, that are essentially killing us slowly. We're trying to, if we can reverse the clock. But how do you think, how old or how long do you think humans will be able to live for in the future?
I think most people would probably start to get past 100.
But people are doing that now, aren't
they? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the majority, like we know, there's more people that live past 100. But I think the majority will start to live past 100.
Like the 100 will be the new.
New 60 70.
No, I was gonna say 100's gonna become like the new
21.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know what I'm trying to say. So 100 is like, so people normally say like 40. No, 60 is the new 80.
Yeah,
is that right?
Something like that.
But you know what I mean, though? They'd
be like,
okay. So 100's going to be.
What
like,
you mean, yeah.
So 100's going to be like, yeah, man, I reached 100. That means everyone's going to be getting telegrams from the Queen, innit? It might even. She'll be like, fuck this, man.
She's going to have to literally make her WhatsApp group.
Yes. Yeah. No, she'll be like, Facebook posted it. Facebook post. That's what it's going to be, innit? Because in the future, kids are going to be like, what the fuck's this, man? A piece of paper. Throw in the bin. But
exactly. But I mean, going back to the exhibition, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very, like, I thought it was going to be a bit horrible and it was going to be a bit gory, but it was very, like,
respectful.
It was done respectfully, so it's done respectfully. Even, like, the music and the ambience and everything, like, the music was soft and, you know, when you went in, there was, like, a list of things that you could and you couldn't do.
Yeah.
So you couldn't take any, like, you could take pictures, but you couldn't take selfies.
And basically, they didn't want you to be disrespectful to the
people who have donated or... I was going
to
say donated the
bodies. We're going
to
come back to
that. That's a controversial issue.
Yeah.
But they didn't want you to be disrespectful to the specimens.
Yeah.
And they also said that you couldn't... What else was the other thing?
You're not allowed to eat.
You're not allowed to eat there.
Which is quite funny though, because we were with one of our... Well, one of our mates. We saw one of our mates there and she had a little one. And as soon as the little one walked into the exhibition, she was like, I'm hungry. And we were laughing because it was just like... The last place you want to think about food.
Well, I think everything like the human bodies and everything was just making her hungry. I don't know why.
But you could.
But that's why she was saying.
The exhibition is crazy though, because we're going to put some pictures up on it, but you could see like the intricate details of the human body.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. And it kind of made you realize how flimsy or how, I don't know what's the word I'm trying
fragile.
To say. Fragile the human body is.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, day in, day out, I mean, obviously the body, human bodies are used to this.
Yeah.
But we are pumping it with shit, man, at times. Best
it
of times.
It is, but that's how we evolved.
Yeah.
Because we were able to withstand harsh conditions.
Yeah.
So, like, even though it looks fragile, it can withstand a lot.
Yeah.
So, but I get what you mean. Like, that it's... Like, if there was any intricate machinery like the human body...
Yeah.
That was there, like we would be treating it with like a lot of respect, like you wouldn't want to damage it.
Absolutely.
But like if it's like a human body, we just treat it like,
yeah,
oh, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I think there's like some, in some ways, like it helps you appreciate,
yeah,
how unique and,
yeah,
how fragile life is.
And also like obviously in the specimens, this was pointed out by your mate as well, she was saying that how it was normally it'd be, you know, it'd be full of water, obviously.
Yeah,
body's made up of what, 80% water, not
80%, some
water.
Shit like that, isn't
it? Yeah. So, but the specimens, obviously the water was dried up, so it was appearing a bit smaller, but it was crazy when you look at how small some of these things are, like the stomach and all that. But so we asked, so during this we met one of the people that worked there and we started asking questions.
Yeah.
And my main one was, where the hell did they get these real life bodies from?
I think the other question that I wanted to know was, how long have they had the bodies?
So they both got answered.
Yeah.
So if you want to know where these bodies came from for this exhibition, the exhibition had originated or come from China. And now you could probably correct me if I'm wrong or Google it to double check, but word of mouth what we were
told. I don't think the exhibition itself originated from China.
Yeah. Okay, but so, the bodies came from China?
Yeah, so basically the bodies were donated to this exhibition.
Oh, okay.
From China.
From China, okay.
So the exhibition, so the people and the specimens, they're Chinese people.
Yeah.
And so we were like, so basically the people didn't volunteer themselves.
So from my understanding is we were told that these bodies that were appearing in the exhibition as specimens were unclaimed.
Yeah.
And that means that obviously
the people had died.
The people had died. The bodies weren't claimed or they weren't identified after 30 days.
Yeah.
Which is like a month. 4 weeks goes by in a blink of an eye. Man.
Yeah. 4 weeks isn't a lot, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To find out that, oh shit, someone's gone missing or, you know, we're going to identify someone. And then it automatically gets pushed into their scientific research program.
So I think what they were saying was that China does that a lot, like any unclaimed bodies go into science and medicine.
Okay.
Yeah, so then they use that, they can use the specimens,
which I don't know, man, I don't know how to feel about that, because
So this falls into the science and medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't think that was right.
Yeah.
I felt that was wrong because the people haven't volunteered themselves.
Yeah.
And like, they've already died. They had nobody. Potentially, they had nobody in their lives. That's why they're unclaimed bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now that they're, so all their life they had nobody and nothing, and now they're like soulless, lifeless.
Well, yeah. Or they're not being.
Not being like
put to rest in a respectful manner. So that was, I think there was parts of the, because well, then when it first started out, I was being a bit like jokey with it because I was like, okay, this is fun. But then you start going through the whole exhibition and you start thinking, shit, this is real people, these are real things. And then it kind of hits you when you go into, they had one bit of it. I don't want to, should I spoil it? Should I mention that bit where they said,
we can do.
Yeah, so there's got one display of it. I think, It felt, I don't want to say it felt okay, but when you're there watching it, experiencing the exhibition and it's all human, adult humans, you're thinking, okay. Then you take a left turn into the exhibition and they've got a warning sign up as well, which says this is, this part of the exhibition has fetuses.
Fetuses, yeah.
And I think it was that point where I was thinking, that's when it hit me, I was thinking, fuck, like this is...
real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is, fuck, this is like something I wasn't expecting.
Mm. So they had like the baby and...
Yeah. And it was crazy, man. They had like infertile, so they're showing you like what, 10, 30 days?
Yeah.
And it looked like a piece of like, it looked like a chewing gum piece.
It did, yeah.
And some of it looked like cotton candy, because it's in all food.
Yeah.
And then you get to like, it was weird though, because it kind of mostly reminded me of like, you see that scene in Aliens?
Yeah.
You're like, it was like, something out of a science fiction film, but it's all real.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy. But if anything, obviously it gives down to the miracle of the whole human body, which is pretty cool. Mm.
But, I think that was like a quite an interesting thing that we went to check out actually, like, you know, like thinking about it. And it, the exhibition wasn't that long, and like what they were saying was that if you went at a time when it was really busy,
yeah,
that, you know, people were literally queuing up to
view something on it.
To view something.
Yeah.
But we went on a Sunday where there was nobodies.
Yeah.
So there wasn't that many people there. And that was better because then we could just like stand there and just
see, read for stuff, it and have a look at it,
appreciate it, yeah. So it's quite interesting.
But like, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think I'd need to go again.
Yeah, I wouldn't go again. Yeah. But I would definitely go and check it again.
Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I did walk away from there thinking they should just cremate those bodies.
It's such a tough one, man. My question is, I mean, even at this event that we went to, this exhibition, you could donate to the local university. You could donate your body.
Your body, yeah.
So I signed you up.
Oh, right. So, so basically, yeah, the girl who was... talking to us,
yeah,
and she was a girl, she wasn't a woman, because she was saying that she's doing her A-levels or something.
So she
like
was, she, it was interesting that, because she, I think she was obviously working there, but she, I think she might have been one of the volunteers,
yeah,
but she wanted to go into medicine,
yeah,
so that's what it was like.
So that was,
she was loving it, innit? Yeah.
So but anyway, so what she was saying was that some people have, after visiting the exhibition, have donated or want information to donate their bodies. Like, would you ever do that?
Well, I was thinking that I would want to, but I ought to put a stipulation in there saying that they'd have to, like, yeah, like, if they can find out the way to, like, reanimate my corpse.
No, but think about it. Like, if it was, okay, just say I donated my body here.
Yeah.
And then would you go there and look at it? And then you'd see my face plastered all over social media.
I'd be like, yeah.
No, but think about how your... your family would feel, your pet, like your mom, the mom, and
that's true.
Like, you know, like your nephews and like your sister and whatever.
Because it's tough losing someone anyway. But then you see them as, but you know, people have done this in America apparently, right? Where I don't know if how true it is, but I've watched a TV show or TV program somewhere, one of them dodgy like documentaries on like Discovery or whatever, where people are like literally when they pass away, taxidermy themselves and like cab themselves sitting on the sofa or something like that, watching TV. I know they do with the animals or the dogs, and the pets and all that.
They can't taxidermy themselves.
No, but you know
they get taxidermy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like get on buy a kit, man. Self taxidermy kit.
But you took away from my serious.
Okay, but thought. that's true though. Yeah. No, I was deflecting. And sorry, but that's so true. So that's a horrible thing. So it'd have to be, you know, well, getting a trip to America.
No, I think what you'd have to stipulate is that you would donate it.
Yeah,
but they can only. They'd have to keep your body preserved for like 40, 50 years and then use it after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
or take away any recognisable features. Any recognisable features.
No, man. Then now people are going to know it's you. It's gonna be like normal. Yeah. Or just have me just the skull and my body. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know, man. It's such a tough one. I would probably...
I don't think I would. I think it would be too creepy.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, it'd be creepy for your living relatives, isn't it? Who are gonna
or
keep...
all people that know you.
Yeah. Mm. Or they might enjoy it. They'll be like, fuck, I can finally see him. It is weird, isn't it?
I don't think I would. I think it's weird.
I think... have we learnt as much as we need to learn from...
from humans?
Yeah.
I think there was an organ discovered recently.
What?
Yeah. But it wasn't an actual organ. I think it was like the space around some organs, but it was classed as a separate organ itself.
When did this happen? So that was okay. That's kind of like, because I was gonna say we don't need to do this anymore. We like, but then we do need to, because we're discovering new diseases or how to tackle new diseases. So
it's and we haven't discovered immortality
or cures to things that obviously like cancer and stuff like that. Mm. So it still needs to be done. Still needs to be understood. But okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So that's a no from you for.
Yeah.
I need to make some phone calls. I need to cancel that. I'm joking. I haven't really signed you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much what our week's been.
So it's pretty standard stuff. But next week's going to be fun, right?
Yeah. So you've got something lined up?
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. So what I'm doing next week is we're having our first full, or say, mini Jumprov show. For those who don't know, Jumprov is the UK's first ethnically diverse improvisational theatre company, founded by myself, Sonny Dapp, starring Adeya, Henry, Chantal Ayrey, Jade Samuels, Dave Drudge, and David Jackson. And that's taking place on Wednesday, the 25th of July, at the Island Bar in Birmingham. Come down, you know, it's going to be an amazing night. Tickets only £5. And how about yourself? You doing anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to your show as well.
Wicked.
So that should be good.
Yeah.
And I think we've also got some... we've got a film booked, haven't we, as well?
Yeah. We may need to change, though, depending on the times.
Yeah.
Because we got...
so we're possibly going to watch Mission Impossible...
Fallout.
Fallout.
Yeah, which... we could switch on that. Switch to a Saturday on that. If you want to.
We could do, yeah.
And...
so either... because the reason we were going to switch is because we're going to a...
birthday party. Yeah, birthday party on Sunday. So, that's it. I don't think I got anything else planned.
I don't think we have. Emails and tweets?
Yeah, I had some feedback from the podcast.
Okay, that's good.
One of my friends heard it and she liked it. She said it's fun.
All right.
She liked you as well. She's saying it was really good.
That's good.
And she thought you was younger than me. I was like, why does this always happen? Even in no matter what format, in real life, people be like, so is Jazz, who's younger out of you two? I'm thinking like, okay.
Yeah. So even like normally when we go speed dating, somebody always thinks that Sonny's younger than...
no,
Sonny's older than me and I'm younger than Sonny.
Yeah.
So, before I was about to go speed dating, my mum felt compelled to tell Sonny that one of her friends thought
Sonny was
older than me. And I was laughing because it's like it happens to you every time we go in speed dating.
Yeah, I know, man.
And even though you wasn't going, it still happened. It's happening,
yeah. No, I was like, I don't want to go speed dating because I don't need to hear that.
Exactly, yeah.
I look older than you or whatever. But yeah.
So that's good. So we had no emails or tweets, but we had feedback.
Yeah.
Outro, so social media. You can check us out on that. We don't do stuff. And you can email us at wedontdostuff@gmail.com.
And if you, no matter where you're reading or listening to this podcast, if you can just do a rating and write a review as well, that'd be really helpful.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think we're across quite a few platforms now.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely, man.
Yeah. So it's a good job by Anchor, the app that we use. So anyway, thanks for listening. Tuna McCartney, that means no problems.
I'm independent.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.